people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Kia ora koutou. Hello, everybody. Great to see you this morning. Shall we bow our heads and pray together? Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that as we gather in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, you gather to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak that we may listen, so that we may be changed, and so move that our hearts and minds might be lifted to your grace and to your glory. All this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Well, these past few days have been a time of newness and yet also a time of normality. Things to a certain extent have gone back to normal, haven't they? We've seen people that we haven't seen in ages. We've been to shops and cafes. We've had people into our homes. We've even gone into other people's homes. Actually very normal things. But yet in all the familiarity of doing these normal things, there is also a newness to them. Not only a newness because we haven't done them for a while, but we've had to relearn how to do the simplest of things. For me, it's been entering into somewhere that's been so new. I've never really given much thought about how you enter into a building before. I mean, sure, you had to figure out if the door was a push or a pull. Otherwise, you ended up like this classic character here. And there was always that awkward kind of after you little dance that you would do when you ran into somebody going into the door at the same time, where you'd say that to each other and then neither of you would move and then you'd both go through the door at the same time. And there was that kind of thing. But apart from those, entering into a place was pretty easy. Well, not anymore. From signing in to figuring out QR codes to keeping physical distance in doorways and kind of being led into a place, feeling like you're in the starting blocks waiting for a gun to go off as you enter into a shop, working out what you can touch and what you shouldn't touch and how you can get to the hand sanitizer once you've touched something, entering into a place is a lot harder than it used to be. You've got to really think about it now. Well, this morning, we are returning to Mark's Gospel here at Trinity. Over the past couple of years, this has been our kind of staple preaching program. It's been our home ground as we've walked with Jesus and thought about what following Jesus looks like today. This morning and next week, we're thinking about what it means to enter Jesus' kingdom. In the passage we heard read from Mark's Gospel and what we're going to look at next week, the focus is on how people enter into God's kingdom and indeed who can enter his kingdom. The Gospel of Mark, this good news which Mark has written, it's all about Jesus. From the very first sentence to the last line, it's all about who he is and what it means to follow him. Indeed, the very first thing that we hear Jesus say in this Gospel are these words: "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And from that point on, we have met the king of this kingdom. We've seen who he is, that he is God's son. Indeed, he's God himself in the flesh. He's God's king, sent to serve and to save. We've seen what he's like. We've seen his power. We've seen his kindness, we've seen his compassion and his love, and we've seen what it means to be a subject of his kingdom, a citizen, what it means to repent and believe, how we live under his good rule. And this morning and next week, Jesus teaches his followers, he teaches his disciples, us, what it looks like to enter into his kingdom and how we receive this kingdom. For you who are Christian, this is how we receive and keep on receiving Christ's kingdom. Here is how those in the kingdom are to treat those who are coming into it. You who are not Christian, it's great to have you with us this morning, but here is Jesus speaking to you, inviting you, welcoming you, and I think speaking clearly to you that whoever you are, whatever you're like, you are welcome. It's a short passage this morning. We're going to walk through it so that we're not making any assumptions, but actually dealing with the words that Jesus says. And as we go, we're going to observe three things. We're going to see a warning, we're going to look at a way, and then we're going to hear a welcome, which Jesus gives us. Well, come with me to Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. We've got a scenario with four main characters on the scene. There are some people, and they are bringing little children. They're bringing them to Jesus, and then there are the disciples who are watching on. Now, the word that we've got that's used here for children can mean anybody up to the age of 12. It's used a little bit earlier in Mark chapter 5 to describe a 12-year-old girl, but it can also mean babies. And we're not told at one level what age these children are because it doesn't really matter. They're all children. And we have a situation. The people, presumably parents of these kids, want Jesus to bless them. Now, a blessing is where you declare God's favour and his approval on someone or something. That's a very normal thing to do. Now, the people are bringing their children that Jesus might bless them, convey God's favour and approval on them. But the disciples think that that's very wrong. And so they rebuke them. Probably it may be the parents who are rebuked, it might be the children. The disciples don't really think that this should be happening at all. And we're not told why they think that. We're just told that they're opposed to these children being brought to Jesus. And this is one of the places where we do need to be a little bit careful, because how we view children and think of children at this point will profoundly affect how we read the rest of the passage. It's worth recognising, I think, that our culture has a pretty high view of children. They are to be protected and nurtured and provided for, and that's very important. That's very good. They are our future, sang Whitney Houston a long time ago. We must think of them, cried Mrs. Lovejoy. We have a very high view of children. And that can mean that we can either read that high view into these verses, or we can think that because it's a different time and a different culture, that these people in this text view children very differently to us because they're not of our time and their culture. We do need to be careful. You see, children were loved in the first century, absolutely. We've seen that in Mark's Gospel already. Chapter 5, a prominent Jewish man in the community comes to Jesus. He humiliates himself by throwing himself at Jesus' feet and begs Jesus, pleads with him to come and heal the man's daughter because he loves his daughter and he doesn't want her to be sick or to die. Children's deaths were mourned. There are a number of places in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where we see that being one of them, that synagogue ruler coming to Jesus. And yet their deaths were not mourned universally in the ancient world. In non-Jewish documents from around about the time that Mark's writing, we read these words, if you bear a child, if it is a boy, let it be. If it is a girl, expose it. And what that means, to expose a child means to leave her outside, either to die or to be taken by someone. We see that even in this passage, people love their children and are bringing their children to Jesus to have him bless them. These adults were obviously concerned about their kids and they wanted God's goodness and favour on them. And yet, children derived their status and importance predominantly from their relationships with an adult male, whose child you were was everything. Indeed, that may be part of the reason why these children are being brought to Jesus. See, we also tend to have a view of children as very pure and innocent. Now, that's a view that's strongly influenced by 19th century romanticism. Unsurprisingly, that wasn't the view in the first century. The general point of view was that male children, male Jewish children, couldn't lead a good and holy life until they were entrusted with the law at age 13. And so it's into that setting of children being loved and yet also being thought little of not being particularly pure, but being needing to be taught, that we see Jesus' warning. See, Jesus is indignant. It's one of the strongest emotions we see from him in Mark's gospel. And these disciples are restricting children, stopping children from coming to Jesus, and it has annoyed him. He is really ticked off. He's angered by the disciples doing this. And so Jesus says to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Notice he says it positively, "Let them come," and then he restates it negatively, "Do not hinder them." See, here's the warning. Don't stop anyone coming to Jesus. Don't stop anyone coming to Jesus. Now, there's a direct application, I think, which is that Jesus is for kids. He's not only for kids that he's sort of pro-children, as we see here. He's for kids that he wants children to believe and respond to him. Now, that's why we have a Sunday school and a youth group here at Trinity. It's not free childcare to get kids out of that, out of your hair while you can enjoy church. No, it's us as a church family seeking to ensure that all members of our family, whatever their age, whatever their stage, whatever their ability, whatever their needs, all can engage with Jesus and come to him. We heard from a few of our kids earlier that that's what they want to do. That's what they pray to the Lord. They trust in the Lord even when it is scary and hard. We've heard of them trusting God, speaking to him during these months, weeks and months of lockdown. Jesus is for children. In fact, kids, if you're doing your Sunday school lessons now and you can hear this, then stop doing your Sunday school lessons. Mums and dads, you might like to tell your kids just to pay attention to me just for a moment, in this sermon at least. Kids, if you're listening, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And you can come to him and you can believe in him and you can follow him just as much as anyone else. He loves you and he welcomes you. That's it. You can go back to your lessons now. Mums and dads, you've been doing such a great job during these weeks teaching your kids in church at your place. I imagine that you, like me, have an increased admiration and thankfulness for our Sunday school teachers who so wonderfully and faithfully enact Jesus' words here. They help little children to come to him week by week at church. But yet there is a warning for us, isn't there? I imagine most of us hear this warning, you know, don't stop anyone from coming to Jesus, and we think, well, of course not. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't even think about doing that. We want children to come to Jesus. But the warning isn't only about children, I don't think. Are there some people for us, some groups of people maybe, some types of people who we think shouldn't really engage with Jesus? I mean, maybe we don't think that they should never engage with him. We just think that they should get some things sorted out before they come and engage with him. And maybe you think that they just need to grow up, and maybe physically, maybe in maturity or in attitude. And maybe they need to change and get themselves in a better place before they connect with Jesus and his people. Maybe you think that a person's mental ability or their physical ability restricts them from coming to Jesus. You might not have sort of thought that through. It's just kind of a gut subconscious thing that is there. It's worth us reflecting on it, given Jesus' warning here. It's also worth us reflecting on it as a church family, particularly as we prepare to meet together in larger and larger groups over the coming weeks. Are we stopping or restricting access to Jesus by the unstated culture we have in our church? By the ways in which we respond when someone, or react when someone behaves or speaks in ways which we don't really do at church? Is it the way that we speak? I've been struck by the illustrations that I use in sermons. Maybe it's the expectations that we have of people. Do these things mean that we're actually making it hard for some people to come to Jesus? Maybe even stopping some people from coming to Jesus, we would do well to heed his warning here. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. But as well as the warning, we also want to see the way. For here Jesus tells us how we are to receive the kingdom, like a little child. Now, this is where our assumptions and expectations of children and what they're like really come to the fore. Because you see, if we think that children are all innocent and pure, we would start to think that we need to be innocent and pure to enter Jesus' kingdom. But that's not the case. Jesus' kingdom is reaching out to the bitter and to the hurt and to the stained and to the broken. He welcomes all. He just warned against any being turned away. It's not the innocent and pure. That's not the essence of being a child. We might think that children are all about simplicity and naivety. And if we think that, then we can start to think that we need to leave our brains at the door when we start to follow Jesus. But that's not the case either. Indeed, in a number of places in the New Testament, Christians are urged, commanded to grow up, to be mature, to stop being childish. It's not what children have. It's what they don't have, which is the key here. One commentator said it this way. In this story, children are not blessed for their virtues, but for what they lack. They come only as they are, small, powerless, without sophistication, as the overlooked and despised of society. There's something in that, isn't there? To receive the kingdom of God as a child is to receive it humbly. To receive it without demand or negotiation, without thinking that we deserve it or that we can earn it or thinking that we have to pay God back for his goodness. It's to receive it, full stop, to accept it, to receive Jesus' offer of goodness and grace and forgiveness and healing and peace, and to come to him and to receive him and accept him on his terms, not on ours. That's a challenge to us, isn't it? There's this really sad exchange in the last of C.S. Lewis's Narnia books. The book's called The Last Battle. There's a reunion of various people who have visited Narnia throughout the series, and somebody asks the question, "Where's Susan?" "My sister Susan," answered Peter shortly and gravely, "is no longer a friend of Narnia." "Yes," said Eustace, "and whenever you've tried to get her to come and talk about Narnia or do anything about Narnia, she says, 'What wonderful memories you have. Fancy, you're still thinking about all those funny games we used to play when we were children.'" "Oh, Susan," said Jill, "she's interested in nothing nowadays except nylons and lipstick and invitations. She always was a jolly sight too keen on being grown up." Now, neither C.S. Lewis nor I are criticizing nylons or lipstick or invitations. That's not the point. No, it's a warning to all Christians. It's a warning to us, should we ever think that we grow out of this childlike, humble dependence on Jesus, of coming to him and walking with him in utter need as children before him. Now, absolutely, we grow to know him more and to love him more. We grow in our maturity in him, but we never grow out of receiving Jesus like a child. Well, we've looked at the warning, we've seen the way, and finally, we hear the welcome. Friends, Jesus welcomes you. There's no other way to say it. He welcomes you. There is no one he will turn away. You see, he takes these little children in his arms and he blesses them. He welcomes them. He conveys God's goodness on them. I don't know where you're at. I don't know who you are, some of you. You may have been excluded from all sorts of things in your life. You might have sought welcome and acceptance in all sorts of places and been rejected. You may have been told that you don't make the grade, that you don't measure up, that you're not good enough, or qualified enough, or smart enough, or skilled enough, you're not old enough, you're not young enough. You may have been turned down by people in relationships and in jobs. You may have been excluded. And you may feel, even this morning, so lonely and so isolated. And you may feel that you're not worthy of being loved or welcomed or blessed. And to you, Jesus says, welcome. You are welcome. If you come to him like a little child, if you come humbly and in need, in complete and utter dependence, he will take you in his arms. He will bless you by forgiving you for all the wrong that you've done, taking away your guilt and your shame. He will hold you in the darkness and in the fear. He will walk with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never demand of you what he does not give you. He will never turn you away. You are welcome. And so if you have not yet come to the Lord Jesus like a little child and said, welcome me, love me and save me. Or maybe if you have and you've become a little bit like Susan and thought that you know better and not interested in those little games, I beg you to come back to Jesus, even now this morning, humbly. See his compassion and his kindness. Accept the welcome that he holds out to you. Come to him and receive his blessing. You are welcome. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have spoken to us this morning. We thank you for the warning that you have given us. We thank you for the way that you have set before us. And we thank you for the welcome that you hold out to us. Father, so work in our hearts by your Spirit that we might humble ourselves and come to you, receiving Jesus on his terms and knowing his love and his blessing that he has poured out through his death and resurrection. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.